Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Sergeant Dennis Gulick of Troop T of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Bob Appleby of the Everett Foodliner, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Tim Harkle Rhodes, CEO at Conemaugh Nason Medical Center in Roaring Spring, Pennsylvania. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, you may have noticed during the introduction, I said Troop T, and you probably said, what in the devil is that? Well, that's a troop of the Pennsylvania State Police, which you probably have had regular contact with, you just didn't realize it. Some years ago, I think probably shortly after the turnpike was built in the 1930s and 40s, the Pennsylvania State Police was charged with taking care of traffic safety and other things, which we're going to talk about in a second with our guest, on the turnpike, all 300 and some miles of it. And they invented a troop. As you know, the troops around Pennsylvania have G, they have T, they have J, they have all these letters. I actually, Dennis, looked at a chart that was online about where all the letters are, and I noticed there were some missing letters. Maybe you can tell me why that is. But anyway, Troop T, I guess, was come up because of Turnpike. Actually, they're very clever over the Turnpike. They came up with this Troop T. So Dennis Gulick has been our guest before. We had him on a couple of years ago when he was the officer in charge of the barracks in Bedford, but he has since emigrated a little bit east, and he is now in Everett running Troop T. So Dennis, thanks a million for talking to us. It's really great to have you on again. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
First, I want to maybe get a feeling for why there is even a Troop T. There are turnpikes and interstate highways all over the country, but they don't have their own police force like you do. You're kind of a highway patrol, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
So tell me a little bit about the mission and what you do with it. How does it work?
Well, years ago, we were legislated in to provide police coverage on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Our main job is to keep the turnpike customers safe, keep the road open, keep the motoring public safe.
So when I get on the turnpike at any of the interchanges, all the way from, say, the Delaware River to the Ohio line, I am driving into a different jurisdiction of the Pennsylvania State Police, aren't I? Is that how it works?
Yeah. All members of Troop T basically primarily patrol the turnpike. We don't normally go out and assist with normal,
right,
our normal Pennsylvania county substations.
Sure.
You know, we're just basically on the turnpike. The turnpike pays our wages, and that's where we're supposed to be.
Well, that's interesting. So that you're funded that way as well.
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is, though, that Troop T is very narrow and very long.
Correct.
In terms of its coverage area, you don't really leave the confines of the turnpike,
right,
unless you just say for something big or an emergency.
Right.
So is there ever a time when some other troops or your county barracks of the turnpike will call on you guys to help them?
Yeah, if something major is going on, or we get a lot during the midnight shift. If their midnight car is tied up and they're down in Hyman, there's a crash on Mile Level or something like that, we'll sneak down and help them real quick as much as we can.
I see. So you can get off the turnpike and do that.
Yeah.
Now, I forget the stupid questions, but this is my job here. See, I ask all the dumb questions so smart people like you can give me the really good answers. But Is a turnpike trooper the same kind of trooper you would see in the county barracks? Are these the same people, same training, same everything?
Exactly, same training, yeah. Same qualifications. Just when you come to Troop T, your responsibility is the turnpike.
So is this a plum position, or is it something that you get when you're about to retire?
Years
or
ago,
how does it work? I mean,
years ago, you had to have a lot of time on the Pennsylvania State Police to be able to work your way out to a turnpike station.
But really?
Recently, with the younger, the state police is so young right now. We actually had a cadet come out here from the academy October of 2016.
Right.
Which is highly unusual.
Well, is the work different here, though? I mean, is it that different from the regular work at the counties?
Out here in the turnpike, we are 90% highway patrol.
Right.
You know, our job is to investigate accidents, investigate fare evasions. We pick up a lot of found property at the plaza. Somebody lets a wallet laying, we'll get notified. Yeah. We'll pick it up, try and track down the owner, put it in our evidence room, and hopefully return it.
So I guess for the purposes of general understanding of the public, in the old Smokey the Bear movie, you're the Turnpike Smokey guys, right? You're the Smokies?
Right.
But you do have Smokey hats, which is good.
Yep.
This fits in with the whole thing, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, our Smokey today is Sergeant Dennis Gerlich, who's the officer in charge. That's right, officer in charge, right, of this troop. Troop T, and I'm here at the Everett...
Of this station.
Of not for the whole term,
right.
I understand that part. In fact, how many are there? There are four or five of you guys? Or
I believe we have eight stations.
Eight.
Yeah.
So you're
all
one of eight.
All the way from Pocono, Northeast Extension, all the way out to Gibsonia,
close
to the Ohio line.
Okay, so how far does your kingdom go? Sergeant Gerlich begin?
Everett Station covers from Somerset County line, around 129 mile marker approximately,
gotcha,
all the way to the Tuscarora Tunnel.
Tunnel, okay.
So about 58 miles, I believe.
So then another station picks up both ends of that?
Correct.
So when we see your cars around this area, they're most likely from Troop T here at Everett.
Yes.
Is there a name for this station, or they just call it Everett?
Troop T Everett.
Troop T Everett, yeah. Pennsylvania Police have been created that way. I noticed that. So let's talk a little bit about some of your work. One of the things that I understand you're involved is found property. This is interesting. It's never occurred to me. So if I stop at the Midway, and I leave my wallet and go tearing off to Ohio, I can call the state police and say, where's my wallet? And
do you have my wallet?
So somebody.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Yeah. So it's like a cashier might turn it into you guys.
Correct.
Is that what happens? And then I've got to come back and find you. You're not going to find me, right?
Well, if there's a driver's license in there, we'll send you a letter saying, hey, we have your wallet, or maybe we'll Google your name, find a phone number, and we'll get a hold of you. If you're so far away, you're not coming back this way, we can make arrangements to send your wallet to you, certified mail, although it's on your dime. If you have a credit card in there, we can put it on your credit card and send it out.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So that's one of the services you're going to expect on this thing. That's actually pretty good. The service on the turnpike has always been exceptional to me. I tell your public relations guy, Carl DeFebo, this all the time at the turnpike, because I'm fond of it because I used to spend so much time on it. And unlike interstate highways, they have a lot of services on this road that they don't have in other places. I mean, you get out in the middle of I-95 south of Washington, you're on your own, pal. No one's going to be taking care of you there,
right,
finding your wallet or any of that jazz. I mean, you're really out on your own. So some of the other stuff, and I guess this is where we see you most, is accident investigation. Now, an accident we're talking about is something that actually happens on this road, right?
Correct.
So tell me a bit about that. How's that work?
State police investigate accidents. The problem with turnpike when you have an accident is you get a backlog very quickly.
Mm.
And that become real dangerous. You got traffic stopped or going real slow, and you got people not paying attention coming down. So we try and get there as soon as we can, get the lights on and slow people down. And we have a lot of assistance from the State Farm. They call them the 100 trucks, safety patrols. And they'll try and get there too with their yellow lights and get on the backlog to slow people down so they're not coming in crashing into the backlog.
So State Farm's just the sponsor. These trucks are really people that work for the turnpike.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. So these are the same maintenance crew they've always had.
Right.
So this is interesting. So if you have an accident and everything slows down, I guess the threat is that people coming upon this scene are going at 70 miles an hour or whatever, and all of a sudden, boom, they're stopped,
yeah,
right?
And you have multiple accidents.
So you want to prevent another accident, but you get out there on the end of that thing to make sure that people know that you have to slow down. I lived in California for a while, and there they have fog, and what happens on the US 101 or I-5 out there is that they're going along, and they drive a lot faster than 70. They're all nuts in California. And they come into these fog banks, and these accidents are spectacular. Yeah. I mean, it can really, really be bad. So do you have a fog problem here anywhere in this part of your piece of the turnpike?
You go up Siding Hill east of Breezewood. Certain times of year, you can get pretty thick fog up there. Yeah. And they have warning signs, you know, fog area and stuff like that. The main thing is just slow down.
So what's the number one reason people have accidents out on this road?
I believe driving too fast for conditions, you know, wet roads, really? Snowy roads, or possibly even inattentive driving, whether they're texting or reaching for a banana laying on the front seat, I don't know.
Have you had a texting problem here? Because they've made that against the law in Pennsylvania.
It's really hard to find somebody doing, especially in a marked car. Yeah. They'll see you. But we don't write a whole lot of them because they're just hard to find.
But sometimes, you know, they've been distracted.
Yeah.
End up against a guardrail for no reason, right in the middle of a straight highway with the sun out and all that stuff. So where I've seen you guys at work is when there's been an accident and they have had – you seem to go to great pains to get the road back open again. That seems to be an imperative. Is that so?
It's about customer service, getting the road open, getting the motoring public on their way, and it's about safety, getting the debris cleaned up, all the vehicles off the road, so get people back in their cars on their way if they're involved and they can still be driving. Just we don't want people standing out along the road and stop traffic, and we want to keep the road open. And
So the turnpike is safer when it's moving, obviously.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to have it because it's designed to have cars go at a fairly reasonable speed down the highway. A guest is Sergeant Dennis Gulick, who is the officer in charge of Troop T, and I'm here at the Everett Station of the Pennsylvania Turnpike's office of the Pennsylvania State Police. I was eager to talk to Dennis because this is an unusual troop they have here. I think most of the state police we know about are out, you know, catching drug dealers and burglaries and things like this, and you don't get involved in any of that.
No. If we stop a car and there's marijuana or something like that, we'll definitely make the arrest.
Right.
You know, we don't handle too much crime work. You know, some minor thefts from the plazas or on a Greyhound bus or something like that. When they stop the plazas, we'll handle thefts like that. But any major crimes, it's legislated in. It's our regulations that the county troop, in this case, either Bedford or McConnellsburg.
So if you find somebody committing a crime, you turn them over to the local troop?
Well, we'll handle the arrest initially. Mm-hmm. But
right.
If it's going to be a lengthy investigation, the investigation will get turned over to the county troop.
And then those guys take over and you continue to patrol the highway. You're probably not old enough for this, but when I was a little kid, there was a television show operated by the Ziv Television Network called Highway Patrol. And there was this great big cop, you know, it was a California cop, probably a sheriff cop they have. And his job was to patrol these new, innovative four-lane highways, because they didn't have any of them back then. Mm-hmm. So highway patrol were catching. And they had the worst crimes on this road you could possibly imagine in the television. So do you run into any of this intrigue out on your road? I mean, have you ever stopped a smuggler? Have you ever had anybody, you know, chasing illegal aliens or anything like that? Anything like that happen here?
Yeah, we do occasionally run into some illegal aliens, and we'll turn them over to ICE, mm-hmm. ICE.
You know, right.
They let them deal with them.
So how do you know that somebody is not up to any good? Is it so often erratic driving that you see? Because, I mean, how else could you know?
We do get a lot of erratic driving dispatches from Highspire. You know, people will see an erratic driver. They'll call *11 and tell them what's going on, and then they'll call us, dispatch us to an erratic driver. We try and find them, locate them. A lot of times they're intoxicated or having mental issues.
Right. So that's your first indication. And sometimes I know people will not be quite right when they come to the toll gates.
Right.
And I hear sometimes that you're called for that.
Right.
And is it the same thing? They're usually impaired some way? Or
either impaired or mad because they have to pay a toll. Or
or running from
whatever,
a bank robbery or something.
Just emotionally unstable. I mean, we see all things out here.
You see that. I'll bet you do. Well, the other thing that you're involved in is the, well, I call it the smuggling and the seizure. And we're going to talk to Dennis about that when we come back. I want to remind you in the meantime that our program today is brought to you in part by Homewood at Springhouse Estates. And if you haven't contacted them, you need to. Mary Grattan over there at Homewood at Springhouse does a wonderful job. And they've got a brand new a center that's being built on the property. You should go over and see. Go over there and see her. Her name is Mary Grattan. Just ask for her by name. You can walk right in and ask for her. That's Homewood at Springhouse, right there on Route 30. And we'll be back with Sergeant Gulick when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Diane Kelly of Firesong Studio, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
As I mentioned earlier, we are at the Everett Station of Troop T at the Pennsylvania State Police, and with us is their officer in charge, Sergeant Dennis Gerlich. We've had Dennis on the air before. He always did a good job when we had him at the barracks in Bedford, and he's done a great job here. I wanted to talk to you about safety tips. Before, I want to talk a little bit about something that would probably be more at least interested in cops and robbers stuff, and that's seizures of things. There is a lot of stuff carried down this turnpike. We see, just as a civilian, I can see tankers and tractor trailers and all manner of things, giant RVs, giant trailers of things. Is there any way that you can keep an eye on the contents of these things, especially before they get into a tunnel? Is there any way you can check that out?
Well, you know, tunnels, hazardous materials are prohibited.
Right.
So, you know, we look for, make sure trucks are properly placarded, you know, so they're not carrying explosives or gasoline going through the tunnels.
Right.
And but as far as an RV,
who knows?
Right.
So you just can't go and stop someone and check them. That's
no. We always need probable cause. No matter what you hear on TV and stuff like that, we need probable cause.
Okay. So it's just like any other examination. If not appearing to do something illegal, they're just going to go on their merry way, and they could have half of the Iranian army in there, and you wouldn't know.
Unfortunately,
right?
Yes.
Right. So, when you do stop someone, is it often because you've gotten a tip about it?
It might just be a normal traffic stop. They're coming through radar at 80 instead of 70 like they're supposed to, mm-hmm. and they're acting suspicious. And you know, we're trained to look for certain indicators of, you know, drug activity or mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Speed is one of those things?
You wouldn't believe, you know, the people that are hauling drugs at speed, or people driving without a license, but they still speed. You know, you'd right. think if you were trying to break the law, you'd go to the speed limit. That's not the case a lot of times.
Well, I don't know. Every cop I've ever talked to told me criminals aren't too bright for the most part.
Right.
So they probably want to get off this road fast. You know, they probably are going from one place to another, and they probably just want to, you know, get out of here.
Right.
So here's the big question of the hour. I've been dying to ask a state policeman this for years. How fast can you really go?
By the vehicle code, we have to give you, if we're running radar, if the speed limit's 70, we have to give you at least 5 over. We can write you at 76.
76?
Yes.
So that's it. That's the magic number.
Right.
And you shouldn't be doing that all the time anyway.
Right.
Because if you said something earlier, to conditions. So what does that mean, driving to conditions? It doesn't mean the speed limit necessarily. It means other things.
Right. If you have an inch of snow on the road and you're going 70 miles per hour, you're probably going to crash.
Right.
You know, even though 70 miles per hour is the legal speed limit, you got a condition on the roadway, snow, you got to slow down.
Can you pull someone over for going too fast in the snow?
Generally, how we do that is they crash and then they'll get a citation for, we know what caused the crash. They were driving, you know, too fast on the snow, and they wrecked. So they'll get a citation for driving vehicle at safe speeds, technically what's called in vehicle code.
So, but you just can't pull someone over because they're going fast in the snow. You can make that determination, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times they'll lower the speed limit for certain weather conditions.
Right.
And then if we see them going faster, we can definitely pull them over for that.
I see. Because what I'm wondering is, you know, you have a very visible patrol here. I don't think I've ever gone down the turnpike when I haven't seen at least one state police vehicle or the state farm truck, you know. And I think to a lot of people, they're the same thing. They're not.
Right.
You know, they say, well, I'll slow down. There's the state farm truck. You know, he's got a radio. He might tell a cop I'm going too fast. And I don't know if that really happens or not, but it's good to let him think so anyway. But if I am trying to break the law on the turnpike, if I just act normally and drive along, chances are low that you would even know what I'm doing.
That's correct. Yeah.
But that's probably true when you're out on patrol on a normal county road too,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, nothing's changed there.
If your car's in good shape, no taillights out, and going to speed limit, seatbelt on, we have no reason to mess with you.
But you will stop me if my taillights are out.
We can generally
we can
stop you for taillight out. Generally, that's a warning because a lot of people don't know their taillights are out. And we'll give you a warning for that, but that's probable cause to pull you over because you have an equipment violation.
What about a headlight?
Same thing.
Same thing. I actually had a Troop T officer tell me my headlight was out as I was going through the toll gate on the way out off the turnpike. He's very nice about it. He says, by the way, you know your right headlight's off. I said, no, I didn't. He says, he probably wondering, how'd you come all the way down the turnpike? It didn't. I think it was one of that parts near Harrisburg where all the lights are on, and I didn't see that. But that's one of your jobs is to make people aware of that kind of thing. Okay, let's move on to something else here. As far as an accident investigation goes, are you involved all the way through the investigation or just what happened on the turnpike? For example, if somebody hits a rail or hits another car or there's a bad accident chain collision, do you have to go to court and explain all that to a JP, or is that handled by someone else?
Yeah, we'll go to the scene. We'll fill out the police accident report and submit it. And if you wrecked, more than likely you were doing something wrong. It wasn't just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to say, but you were either driving too fast or inattentive or possibly texting. So more than likely you're going to get a citation for some section.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally where it ends with us. Once we file the citation, file the accident report, that's generally where we're done, unless the person that received the citation wants to take a hearing on it. Then we'll have to go to the judge's office. And
so your men do
case.
Do that. They have to go leave the turnpike, do that, because that's an insular you were in here. All right, well, just before we leave here, I wanted to ask about some of the safety tips. Okay, it's wintertime. It's February. Guess what? It's going to probably snow. So I get on the turnpike. What's the first thing I should be thinking about when I get on the turnpike, especially if it's snowing?
I'd be very cognizant of your speed. Make sure your tires are good. Obviously, what happened a few years ago over in Somerset County, it's not a bad idea to have, you know, flares in your car, blankets, bottled water. Just be prepared in case you will get stuck, because we're a very closed system here.
Right.
You know, you can't just pull off the side of the road and get off the turnpike. You know, you have to exit through an interchange, and you can't get trapped out here.
As
we saw in the past, that's the last thing we want.
Well, a couple of years ago, of course, we had that bad snowstorm where people were stuck up there for about half a day or something. And you were telling me a story before we went on the air about how one trucker went up on the side, and then what happened?
One truck got – this is what I'm being told. I wasn't stationed here then, but I'm told one truck was going up in the right-hand lane like he should have been, climbing the mountain towards the Allegheny Tunnel. He got stuck. Another truck sees that one stuck. He's out in the middle lane, tries to make it. He gets stuck. Third truck tries to go around on the left side of all of them. He gets stuck, and then you got a turnpike system. Road's blocked, and snow's coming down at such a high rate they just couldn't keep up.
And it's not a matter – easily to get a wrecker in there to get them out of there.
The snow was coming down so hard and fast. And
so that one incident is what caused that the beginnings of that horrible backup that you had that went on for hours.
And then there was a crash out here in Everett's area. It had traffic backlogged, and once that was cleared, they released them, and they continued west, and they hit the backlog going up the mountain there, and then you just had a super long backlog.
Right.
We stuck for days.
At both ends, yeah. So that's what you want to avoid. Well, that's an interesting suggestion to have something in your car for a long stay on a closed system like this. Now, another thing I heard was that when the turnpike was built originally, they had built guardrails down the middle. Actually, in the beginning, I'm told they had no guardrails. But later, when they put guardrails up, they had brakes in them just for that reason, so you could get emergency vehicles in. But then they put up the Jersey barriers. And now the whole different deal, isn't it?
Right.
Because you can't get through the Jersey barriers. So I think one of the criticisms in the after-action report that I read about that snowstorm was we got to examine these Jersey barriers. We got to find a way to get emergency vehicles through the centers of them so they can go from a reverse direction. Is that something that you've observed as well?
Yeah, I believe they actually started pulling some of the barriers to be able to turn the traffic around, but it is an issue.
It's like an unintended consequence. Right. We have Jersey barriers keep people from running into the other lane, but now we have no way to get emergency vehicles to the other side. So do you think that incident we had in the snowstorm could have been relieved a little bit if you could have gotten vehicles in from the other side? That was part of the problem, wasn't it?
I believe it would have. Like I said, I wasn't there then, but once the snow finally did stop and they get stuff moving, that would have really, really helped.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a fascinating subject because it comes right smack through the middle of our county, has done so since 1940, and bifurcates the entire county, north and south, and has a major impact on the way that people live here. How many people are in your troop, in Dennis's troop?
At my station, I got 15. Right now, I have 15 patrol troopers, three patrol corporals, and myself.
So these guys work 24 hours a day, or rather the shifts are 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you man the shifts that way with 15 people.
Yep.
Doesn't sound like very many.
No, it can get thin sometimes.
Yeah.
But I always have my zones covered. I got three zones. Zone 12 is out east. Zone 11 is from Breezewood to Bedford. And zone 10 is from Bedford Interchange to Somerset County Line. I always have a trooper, at least one trooper assigned per zone.
So that's interesting. So zone one or whatever they're called doesn't go in the other zone. They just work their own zone.
Right.
Okay, so that gets your response up. So
So
how do they get from east to west?
They'll find a gate, either an interchange or find a gate somewhere. We have keys to unlock the gates and we can flip.
I see. So you can go up, unlock your own gate, it will let you on the other side, then you reverse the whole process and go back down the other side. I've seen them going in there. I'm never sure what that was about, so that's what they do. All right. You're a wealth of information. I think it's very interesting. Okay, just one final thing. If this winter, well, the Romania this winter, I get out here, do we still use chains on cars? People still, are they any use to anybody anymore? Or we used to have those all the time.
Well, I haven't seen chains on a car in a long time.
Yeah.
Some people still have studded tires.
So on this road, because it's maintained fairly well, it isn't really necessary, I suppose.
I don't believe it is.
Yeah.
They do a tremendous job, and they put a pile of salt down on this road. And county roads can be wet and snow covered. These roads here are just wet.
Yeah, so the Turnpike maintenance does a great job on that. Well, Sergeant Gerlach, I really appreciate you speaking to us, and it's really been interesting to learn more about this. I miss anything? Anything else we wanted to cover here?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, thanks again. I really appreciate it, and I want to thank our guest, Sergeant Dennis Gerlach, who is the officer in charge of his section of Troop T. He said, let me get this straight, between Somerset and Tuscarora, right?
Yes.
All right, got it right. Maybe they'll make me a junior state cop someday. Hard to say. Thanks again. I appreciate it. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.